We're going to talk a bit of tech now, though. Fezzy Turkelp joins us, the editor of GadgetDetective.com and the Gadget Detective podcast. I'm going to talk first of all about, as I mentioned earlier, about people in AI getting worried about AI. And the Instagram boss, first off, though, he has said that 16 hours of daily use is problematic, but not addiction. Fevzi, tell us more.
Yeah, so this is Adam Mosseri, who's been giving testimony in a California court defending Meta and therefore Instagram against claims that it caused mental health damage to minors. So there's been a lawsuit brought. Something he said which really caught my attention, he was claiming that if someone spends 16 hours a day on their platform, that doesn't in and of itself prove that the platform is addictive.
Mm.
And given that there are only 24 hours and we're meant to be sleeping for about 8
hours a day. That's a lot.
Yeah, he says that, you know, it was problematic, but not necessarily an addiction. So that's kind of interesting. This lawsuit is actually very interesting as well, because they're very carefully crafted lawsuits to get round something called Section 230 protection. So social media companies are protected against the harms of user-generated content on the basis that they are just a conduit. They didn't produce the content, and therefore, as long as they take it down reasonably quickly, they're not to blame. This is like saying BT is not responsible for the conversations that are held over its copper wires. But it doesn't really hold water. And what's really interesting is that these cases get round the Section 230 protections because they're not focusing on any individual video or message or picture. They're talking about the practices of the company itself, the fact that they've designed features that are designed from the ground up to keep people on the platform. So things like infinite scrolling, the notifications that go bing and set off a dopamine rush in the brain.
Mm.
Various things that are just designed because their whole business model is predicated on the more time you spend on there, the more you engage.
So is your opinion they absolutely are addictive then? I mean, they're designed to be addictive. I mean, it's a difficult word maybe to define, but
well, yeah,
feels addictive okay to me.
So Mosseri is right technically that spending 16 hours a day in and of itself does not prove addiction. There are 11 different criteria used by the medical profession to define prediction addiction, and if two or three of those are met, then that's a mild disorder. If four or five are met, it's moderate, and if six or more, it's a severe addiction. But the thing is, once you're on for 16 hours a day, the others almost inevitably follow, like failing to fulfill major obligations at work, school or home, continued use despite social and interpersonal problems, giving up on important activities due to use. So it's technically, I mean, it's the only argument that I think Meta can make to defend themselves, because it's a very well-drafted suit, and I think, personally, I think it has merit. And so they are trying to say, well, it doesn't prove addiction. It doesn't have to prove addiction to prove harm. And I think that's right, the point. And I don't think most reasonably minded people would think that such extreme use of a social media platform can be anything but including harm.
Now, can I get your opinion on something else as well? That you will have seen this, this AI safety leader who has quit because, well, he doesn't think we're going in a good direction. He's going to study poetry.
Yeah, so this is Mrinank Sharma, who was a leader Anthropic Safeguards research team. So Anthropic is the company that produces Claude. Interestingly, Anthropic was set up by people who left OpenAI because they were dissatisfied with the safety standards there. And this resignation, it's interesting both in what he says and what he doesn't say, but also that it's very much part of a pattern of senior safety researchers leaving both OpenAI and and Anthropic stating concerns. And Sharma will have signed an NDA agreement and therefore has been a little bit circumspect, but he's warned about interconnected crises. He's warned about not just AI but bioweapons. He's spoken about how institutional pressure makes it very difficult for people to follow their values, to do what they think is the right thing, to set aside what they believe matters most. And he talked about wisdom. And, you know, I think I've said to you before, I think we're clever monkeys, but we're not necessarily very wise monkeys. And he's spoken about a wisdom gap. He's saying that humanity is approaching a threshold where our wisdom must grow in equal measure to our capacity to affect the world. So the more agentic we become, the more we can affect the whole world with our actions. We must be that much wiser, and I would say more cautious as well. And he says he's leaving, going back to England, and he's going to write poetry.
Well, why not? Yeah, what worries me...
Which is a bit like fiddling whilst Rome burns.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, there's nothing I could do anyway, but at least he said exactly. Something. But it is worrying that it's the people who are actually working in AI now who are saying this sort of thing, because they probably know better than your casual observer what it's capable of.
Yeah, and it's also worrying because Anthropic, of the major, foundation companies... is the one with the best reputation for safety, but it's obviously that's relative, and they're being put under pressure financially. We had a resignation about advertising. OpenAI is experimenting with advertising to its users. Mm. And although that on the face of it doesn't seem like a safety issue, when you consider, and someone resigned over this, and when you consider that we share very intimate things very often with our OpenAI, ChatGPT, and all of the rest of it, it's very easy to imagine that once... you know, a company becomes dependent upon the advertising revenue, as Meta did with Facebook, that it starts to manipulate people gently into buying the products that it's advertising. It wouldn't be very difficult. Mm. And although at the moment it says, well, you know, we're going to keep it completely separate, you know, Meta was quite, well, Facebook as it was then, was quite an ethical company in its time and made a lot of promises that some would say haven't been met as the years have rolled by, and they've become more dependent on the advertising revenue. So we become very vulnerable to manipulation. Advertising is already manipulative, but imagine an advertiser who knows everything about you.
Absolutely. I find that pretty disturbing, to be honest. But maybe that's a big discussion for another day. Let's squeeze in a gadget or two if we can as well. I know you've picked out a couple that are aiming to save energy and save us money.
Yeah, so the first one's from Anker, A-N-K-E-R. They have a range of power banks called Solix, S-O-L-I-X. So these are like the handheld power banks, but this one, for example, the Solix C200 DC, is 60,000 milliamp hours. So that's the equivalent of about six of the handheld ones, if you take my meaning. So this thing can charge up five devices at once, and normally, like its smaller brethren, you charge it from a wall socket. But there's a deal on at the moment, which is what caught my eye. These power stations can be charged from solar panels, but normally the solar panels cost at least as much as the power station, if not more. At the moment, the combination of the C200 DC and 60 watts worth of solar panels would normally cost £300, and it's currently 150. And I thought that was quite good, because this is not just for people who, you know, go camping, although it's great for that sort of thing. You can actually put the solar panels, you know, outside the window in your home, run a cable inside.
And,
you can have free energy, because the panels are separate, so you can put them anywhere that the cable
will
reach.
How big are they?
They're not too big. They're a few feet across, and
So it is like a recognizable. I was imagining something like they have on the top of these new post boxes, for example. But it's bigger than that, then.
No. Well, I'd say it's about eight of those. There's eight panels that are wired together to produce 60 watts, and it's just a very good way of getting free electricity. And who doesn't want free these days? So and normally the problem was when it's £300, you've got to make good use of it before you start making your money back
and live a long time.
When it's £150, it's a lot better. And also, this particular unit uses a type of battery that will recharge 3,000 times instead of 500 times. So it's more advanced than conventional lithium ion. Moving on, if we have time, one more thing that caught my attention that saves money. It's from a company called De'Longhi, which is an Italian company, and they're quite well known for making these oil-filled electric radiators, which you can use. So instead of firing up the central heating in your house, you're in one room. This thing can heat a substantial size room because it's 2.5 kilowatts, which is pretty much the maximum that you can plug in safely into a main socket. Anyway, these things are great. They have oil inside them. They heat up. And then even after you turn off the power, they continue to give heat for a good long while afterwards. You know, it's a bit like those heaters that heat bricks, and then the bricks reduce electricity. It's quite amazing how it's got this sort of chimney effect, which scoops in air from the bottom and literally blows out, even though it doesn't have a fan. It blows out hot air from the top, and it fills the room very nicely. So much better than a electric fan heater, generally speaking. Now, the thing that caught my attention was it's got this thing called an eco function, which initially I thought, oh, that's just their name for a thermostat, because you set a temperature and it maintains that temperature. So why would that save power? The reason is a normal thermostat would go full force in terms of heating until it hits the temperature. It would then stop, but then it continues to heat the room. In other words, it overshoots, and you're wasting electricity because you set it to 21, but it doesn't really start reversing till it gets to 23 degrees, for example. So this thing, as it approaches, imagine like a car gently braking as it comes to a halt. It doesn't do 30 miles an hour and then slam on the brakes, hopefully. So what this thing does, it's got three power levels that it controls itself. So as it gets towards the target temperature, it drops the power level. So there's no real appreciable overshoot, and it saves money, essentially, because when you overshoot, you're spending money on electricity that you didn't intend to.
Sounds like a good idea. What's that called again, then?
So it's from De'Longhi. It's called the TRDX 41025E. It's also known as the Dragon 4 Pro. It list price is $189, but I saw it, if I may say, at Costco. I know people need membership for that, but it was £129 at Costco. And I think that means it's worth buying an online membership card. You still make a significant saving compared to Amazon and other retailers at the moment.
Fevzi, thank you. Fevzi Turkout there, editor of Gadget Detective. More coming up in a moment on LBC.